the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cooking process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Listener, ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national...
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Germany supports Indonesia in OECD and strengthens ASEAN. President urged to break resource mafia, ensure equitable wealth distribution. Now, the news in detail. German Federal Foreign Minister Johan Wadephul emphasized Indonesia's important role in multilateral cooperation after a bilateral meeting with Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono in Jakarta on Wednesday. He stated that Indonesia is not only Germany's strategic partner bilaterally, but also plays an important role in global forums. He stressed that Germany openly supports Indonesia's plan to soon join the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in addition to its active role in G20.
That is why Indonesia not only a bilateral partner, but also an important multilateral partner in the G20 and hopefully soon in the OECD, where Germany explicitly supports Indonesia's accession. Tomorrow, I will also visit the ASEAN headquarters here in Jakarta. ASEAN is the anchor of stability in this region.
According to him, ASEAN has made real contribution in easing conflicts between the countries in Southeast Asia, including its role in helping to reduce tensions between Thailand and Cambodia. Concluding his remarks, the German foreign minister stressed that Germany views Indonesia as a key to regional stability, as well as an important partner in maintaining global security and prosperity. Indonesia and Germany have agreed to strengthen cooperation in the employment sector through the Triple Win program, which has sent more than 300 Indonesian healthcare workers to Germany. Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono disclosed it after holding a bilateral meeting with German Federal Foreign Minister Johan Wadephul in Jakarta Wednesday. Minister Sugiono stated that in the future, the program will also be expanded to the hospitality sector.
Belajar dari kesuksesan ini, kami juga berinisiatif untuk memperluas sektor pengiriman pekerja migran Indonesia di sektor hospitality.
Learning from this success, we are also taking the initiative to expand the deployment of Indonesian migrant workers in the hospitality sector. Of course, the key lies in language proficiency. Earlier, Minister Wadaphul also conveyed to us that Germany offers extensive language training programs so that the existing Triple Win program will reach even more prospective Indonesian migrant workers in Germany.
Mencapai banyak calon-calon pekerja migran Indonesia di Jerman.
He added that Indonesia and Germany also discussed the possibility of visas facilitation for students, tourists, diplomats, and holders of service passports. He stressed that both Indonesia and Germany are committed to continuing to deepen their strategic cooperation in the future. The Indonesian government is accelerating the operations of Merah Putih Village Cooperative to support food distribution and rural economies. Coordinating Minister for Food Affairs, Zulkifli Hasan, explained the target of activating 15,000 cooperatives this month. Ofra has the detail.
Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Food Affairs Zulkifli Hasan emphasized that faster coordinations across ministries and agencies is being carried out to finalize regulations supporting the operations of the Merah Putih Village or community cooperatives. At the press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, he said about 15,000 out of 80,000 cooperatives are targeted to start operating this month. He noted that the accelerations plan includes scheduled visits and task distributions across different regions.
Therefore, we have already made an agenda so that this month it can be completed, leaving around 15,000 to become operational. Tomorrow we will go to East Java and so on, and afterward we will divide the task in various areas so that the 15,000 can be completed this month or begin operating quickly.
Minister Zulhas added that these cooperatives will serve as an important infrastructure to distribute social assistance, organize market operations, cut supply chains, and eliminate middlemen in villages. They will also act as off-takers for agricultural products such as unhusked rice and corn. According to him, all regulations, including those of the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Village, have been finalized, while the Ministry of Manpower is preparing a training system for prospective managers. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Ministry of Health Polytechnic Poltekkes has been designated as a WHO collaborating center for nursing and midwifery. This collaboration, which aims to strengthen healthcare education, was announced at a public introduction event in Jakarta on Wednesday. Dika has the detail.
Poltekkes plays a vital role in advancing education, research, and community service.
The Indonesian Ministry of Health Polytechnic is set to implement a new collaboration with the World Health Organization, focusing on nursing and midwifery education across Indonesia. The designation as a WHO collaborating center was made public at a public introduction event held by the Directorate General of Health Workforce in Jakarta Wednesday. This partnership, which runs for a period of 4 years until 2029, is a significant commitment from the government, as described by the Director General of Health Workforce, Yuli Varianti.
Ini adalah sebagai satu bentuk.
This is a form of government commitment to strengthen the capacity of healthcare education at the regional and global level.
Kesehatan di tingkat regional dan global.
She also hoped that the collaboration will play a role in harmonizing Indonesia's healthcare standards with global ones through training and mentorship programs. To support this, the government has also partnered with the United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA. Supporting the optimism for the future of this partnership, the team head of health system strengthening at WHO Indonesia, Roderick Salinga, highlighted the Polytechnic's strategic role with its 38 schools across the country.
The Poltekkes WHO Collaborating Center is not only a platform for WHO, but definitely a hub of collaboration among partners and institutions working together with Poltekkes.
He added that the collaboration has already supported the development of international class programs and improved teaching quality through various training sessions. He believes Indonesia has the potential to become a leading resource for knowledge sharing and capacity building in the global stage. Dikaden Ananda, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia marked World Mosquito Day on Wednesday, August 20, 2025 by highlighting the success of Wolbachia method in reducing dengue fever. In an interview with Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, 20th of August, Dr. Citra Indrayani, director of the Center for Tropical Medicine at Gajah Mada University, said trials in Yogyakarta cut dengue fever cases by 77% and hospitalization by 86%. The health ministry is now expanding the program to 5 major cities, namely West Jakarta, Semarang, Bontang, Kupang, and Bandung. Dr. Citra stressed that long-term success requires vaccines, mosquito breeding site control, and active community participation. Director of Center for Tropical Medicine at Gajah Mada University, Dr. Citra Indrayani, shared further insights in her exclusive interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia. She explained that Wolbachia trials in Yogyakarta successfully reduced dengue cases and highlighted the importance of community participation to ensure long-term success. Economic expert from IPB University, Irfan Shawki Baig, has issued a stark critic of Indonesia's natural resources sector, stating that control remains in the hands of powerful few and is plagued with corruption, urging a President Prabowo Subianto to take a decisive action to realize the constitutional mandate for the people's welfare. The statement was delivered during the VOI talk program with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday. The statement directly calls upon President Prabowo Subianto to fulfill his promises.
And I think unequal access, and then corruption and also the governance of this natural resources management needs to be increased, and the president should pay more attention towards this one and all the mafia, that exists in various sectors need to be eliminated. Like on the mining, on the gas, on the oil and gas sector, for example, and others. So these mafia, these people, they try to always make, certain policies that will benefit them. These kind of things need to be, resolved by our president. Otherwise, his statement is only statement.
In order to be able to implement such condition, Irfan Shawki Baig urged government to produce smarter policies that optimize economic potential while serving the nation's long-term interest. This includes strengthening governance, eliminating corruption, and ensuring environmental sustainability to meet commitment like nationally determined contribution on carbon emissions. The Witness and Victim Protection Agency give appreciation on the National Counter-Terrorism Agency for its achievement and strong commitment in addressing and protecting witnesses and victims of terrorism. Ahmad Faisal has the reports.
The chairman of the Witness and Victim Protection Agency, Ahmadi, expressed his appreciation to the National Counterterrorism Agency, or BNPT, for its continuously concrete steps in counterterrorism. In fact, Ahmadi, during a webinar on United in Hope, Joint Action for Victims of Terrorism held by the BNPT in Jakarta on Thursday, also stated that the BNPT has implemented preventative measures as part of the Witness and Victim Protection Agency's protection and fulfillment of rights.
Marwah perlindungan. Perlindungan itu ada perlindungan dalam rangka proses.
The spirit of protection exists within the framework of the judicial process as well as physical protection and so on. There is also the provision of assistance, whether medical, psychological, or psychosocial, including other rights and compensation. In this regard, the spirit of protection must be upheld together. Why? Because every provision of protection must have meaning and progressive momentum for the protection of witness and victims. Moreover, Ahmadi also explained that the victims and or their families and even the community all feel the impact of acts of terrorism that harm many people. According to him, victims, both directly and indirectly, suffer deep wounds. Therefore, the state is present to provide assistance because direct victims are the state's responsibility as mandated by law. Ahmad Faisal reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Dengue fever remains one of the most significant public health challenges in Indonesia. The government continues to strengthen its policies on prevention and control, while researchers and medical experts play an essential role in developing effective strategies on the ground. To discuss more about the current situation and the future direction of dengue control in Indonesia, we are joined by the Director of Center of Tropical Medicine at Universitas Gajah Mada, Dr. Citra Indriani. Good afternoon, Dr. Citra. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Mbak Yunike. I'm good.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Doctor,
you're welcome.
What is the current situation of dengue fever cases in Indonesia, and what should the public know about the efforts to control it?
Yeah, so the current situation, I think dengue remains a significant public health issue across all provinces in Indonesia, and also we identified that dengue trend is increasing over the last 50 years and with the endemic epidemic pattern. What does it mean? It means that in the certain years, dengue will be becoming an epidemic. It means that the cases will increasing sharply in a certain years. Like we experienced in the 2024, we have a big dengue epidemic in Indonesia and also globally. And also we identified that the Java contribute to the highest number of dengue cases each year because of the population density and also the economic development that the certain habitat for the mosquito, and then it posed to the dengue virus transmission.
Okay, if we're talking from a medical research perspective, doctor, what strategies are considered the most effective in reducing the spread of dengue fever?
Okay, so in the current situation, I think we have no answer if you asking the most effective, because in the current situation, we have no single weapon in combating the dengue. So the weapon is combining the existing, particularly for the vector control, breeding site control, which involving the community participation, and also the current update is we already have a dengue vaccine that has been introduced in a certain area, but yet as a national program for dengue vaccination. So I think it needs a combination between the existing vector control, the case management, and also we still need the community to be active in participating the for vector control in combating the dengue fever. And also we need the academician try to find out the innovation in vector control, in the vaccine, and other innovation in controlling the dengue.
In recent years, Indonesia has also implemented innovative vector control center or methods, such as the release of Wolbachia infected mosquitoes. How has this program progressed so far, Bu? And has it shown an impact on dengue cases?
Yeah, so this HFT infected Wolbachia, it has been, the research is started in Yogyakarta, and it implementation was started in 2014. And at the current moment, we have a full implementation in Yogyakarta City. So in Yogyakarta City, we conducted the trial, and so far the trials show in 2020, it shown that the reduction of dengue is 77%.
Wow.
And decreasing the dengue hospitalization on 86%. And if we monitor, that the result is obtained during 2020, but then we still monitor up to now, we still observe the low incidence of dengue compared to the previous period where the Wolbachia have not been implemented in Yogyakarta City. And now the program has been adopted by the Ministry of currently they adopt the program and implement as a pilot implementation for using Wolbachia infected Aedes aegypti to control dengue in five cities in Indonesia. So the pilot implementation aim to have enough information, enough experience, because maybe the implementation in Yogyakarta is a research base. But then if we adopt it and adapt it as a national wide program implementation, it will need some adjustment, it will need more information. So the MOH together with us then implement the program as a pilot implementation.
Okay.
Well, the five cities included the Jakarta Barat, Semarang City, Bontang City, Kupang City, and also Bandung City.
Oh.
So most of them are city.
Big
kota.
Cities. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so far with this method, in your view, how effective is this method, both from research perspectives and in implementation? You mentioned it several times. How long does it usually take to see tangible results? And is there any way to accelerate this process that is currently going on?
So for the Wolbachia, we can see the result within the, we observing the result. And we can see the impact after two seasonal dengue after the Wolbachia is implementing. So the Wolbachia method that we currently use, we call it as the replacement method of Wolbachia, or usually we call it as WR Wolbachia replacement technology, because in Singapore they also using Wolbachia, but not to replace, but to suppress the mosquito population.
Oh,
okay. So we have a different method in implementing Wolbachia. The WRT method is a one-shot, implementation. We reduce the mosquito within the 6 up to 8 months, and then we stop the release, and then Wolbachia will be established in the natural population of Aedes aegypti.
Hmm.
And then we observe the impact by observing the dengue cases through the active and the passive surveillance that already established within the cities or within the district. So when will be the impact is notified. So currently we still observe one season of dengue. So we stopped the release in the mid of 2024 in the five cities. So we will observe the impact until the next year, because previous season we have peak of dengue epidemic, and usually after the peak dengue, the trend of the cases will be lowing down. So it's lower than the previous. So the question is still because Wolbachia, or it is because the usual pattern after the peak dengue increasing, it followed by the low cases. So then we still need to have a longer monitoring to observe the impact in those five cities area. So hopefully the Wolbachia will work to help the dengue increases in this next season in five cities area.
And lastly, Doctor, what message and hope would you like to share with the Indonesian people so they can play a more active role in preventing the spread of dengue in their communities? You mentioned it a bit in the before explanation, but what exact message and hope would you like to share with the Indonesian people?
Somehow if we tell the community that dengue is our problem, it is not your problem, so they are not going to support us in any activities. So make the dengue is our problems, also the community problem, I think the one thing that very important to have. And also, as I mentioned before, that we have no single weapon in dengue, and we are facing dengue years to years. And also, because of the climate change, the threat is bigger and bigger. And also, we identify chikungunya in some part of China also, so it also transmit in the same similar mosquito. So take the problem as a problem of our community, I think the most important thing, so can take an action because this is their problem. In vaccination and also in the breeding site control and also in the implementation of Wolbachia, I think we need the community to support us. Besides, we also have a good implementation guideline, strong supervision, and also partner in collaborating in implementing those strategies.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chitra, for your very, very valuable insights. Today's discussions remind us that fighting dengue is our problem. It's a shared responsibility between government, experts, and the community, and of course, the Indonesian people. With stronger awareness and collaboration, we can move closer to reducing its impact in Indonesia. So, this is the VOI Talk. Thank you very much, Dr. Chitra. I'm Yunika. See you on the next VOI Talk.
Today's commentary is on President discusses economic issues with state-owned enterprise leaders and ministers. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto held a marathon meeting with several ministers of the red and white cabinet and heads of state-owned enterprises at his private residence in Hambalang, Bogor, West Java on Wednesday, August the 20th. The discussion focused on agricultural land and plantations permits and management of strategic mining commodities and the national economy and investment. Citing setnek.go.id, Cabinet Secretary Teddy Indrawijaya explained that the first meeting discussed agricultural land and plantations. The second meeting discussed permits and management of strategic mining commodities, and both were attended by the heads of relevant state-owned enterprises. In the final meeting, President Prabowo Subianto and a limited number of ministers discussed developments in the national economy and investment. In the meeting with the president directors of state-owned enterprises related to plantations, agriculture, and mining, the president led directly while demonstrating a firm and swift managerial approach. He wanted to hear firsthand reports from the field, the challenges faced, and the solutions that could be implemented without having to wait for tiered reports that often get distorted along the way. Furthermore, issues related to agricultural and plantation land, as well as strategic mines, are directly related to food security, energy sovereignty, and national resources. Discussing and understanding the conditions on the ground directly from state-owned enterprises leaders would certainly accelerate Indonesia's economic growth. Quickly addressing the obstacles in this sector is essential. In the agriculture and plantation sectors, the main problem is land conversion. Meanwhile, the mining sector is vulnerable to tax evasion and environmental damage caused by mining activities. Direct meetings with state-owned enterprises are certainly not merely ceremonial. This is a strategic step for the president to expedite project execution, ensure synergy between institutions, maintain orderly management of natural resources, and provide direct, unbiased guidance for the welfare of the Indonesian people.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Let us pray. in the town to live and breathe the change we seek. I truly believe a healthy planet for internet. Mana kana kiri da polusi. You living in a moment, but you will see messy for me. Can't see from me to see, so waktunya tuh beraksi. Now, apabila semua tinggal cerita dan kisah kenangan alam indah, like this song rekaman ekspresi gelisah, tapi cobalah cek realita. We're a part of this problem. We need each and everyone. Tapi kepemimpinan di atas yang bisa mewujudkan. We're a part of this problem. We need each and everyone. Tapi kepemimpinan di atas yang bisa mewujudkan.
To protect our children, children, let us
untuk hindari enough to think that you were waiting. Should've waited. If I had another chance, I would've stayed with you. Plan a life together, find a place to run away with you. Don't get me wrong, girl, I'm happy for you. But if I had it my way, I'd be the man to hold you. And I would run up to your boy and tell the lucky bumper clock to never let you go. But it's better if he never knows. I'm such an idiot. I admit I might have made the wrong decision. You would feel the same if you was in my position. Things I could have changed and I should have changed them with you. Nothing but the best is what I wish you.
I wish I could turn back time. I don't want to say goodbye. I wish I could turn back time. Say goodbye. I don't ever wanna say goodbye.
Don't you want to be sorry?
cepat kasih ku sayang cepat. Atau kita kan terlambat datang. Atau kita kan terlambat datang. Lewat hampir mulai lonceng telah berbunyi. Takkan terlambat lagi walau sekejap ini.
Celah dalam hatimu.
seperti yang kau minta.
Sini di dalam darahku.